God. Glory to God.
Good morning. I'm Libby, and I work in children's ministries here at the church, and we're glad you're here this morning. If you guys want to open up your bulletins, I'm going to go over the announcements. There are quite a few. I'm not going to go over all of them because that would take a long time. So the first one, there's a missions potluck directly after church. And I don't know if you guys noticed outside, there's a missions fair going on, so make sure you go to the booths. There's lots of good information out there. Secondly, Costa Rica lunch next Sunday after church, and the students and adults going on that trip ask that you make a donation if you come to that lunch to help us go on the trip. And then thirdly, if you want to go out to Welcome Central, there are these little cards out there, and if you flip them over, there's a name of a student in need of some shoes. And so we are partnering with Hirsch Academy and their shoe drive. And we're asking that you buy a pair of shoes, $10 and under. And the shoe size is on there, the name of the kid. I think they're all in kindergarten. So if you wanna help us out with that, please stop by Welcome Central and pick up a card. And that's it for announcements.
Except for one more announcement. This past Thursday, I had the privilege of watching Libby Weiler defend her master's thesis. And what was so cool about it was watching Libby in action. She really knows what she's talking about, because I didn't understand 50% of what you were saying, which is, that isn't a shock. But you have been a gift to this community of faith, and we as a community of faith want to say congratulations to you. And as of Thursday afternoon, she's officially has a master's degree, and we're excited about that. No, I'm not expecting anybody to call you master or anything like that, but we are, yeah, just weird, but congratulations. So during our greeting time, if you can track down Libby, go up to her, tell her congratulations, because it's quite an accomplishment that this wonderful young lady has done. So God bless you, and we just want to do that. So stand up, let's greet one another. So congratulations.
Good morning. Once again, I love technical difficulties, but we're going to continue worshiping God. Lord, your name is powerful, your name is great, your name is just, your name is true. Your love never fails and never dies. By your grace, we are here this morning, not by accident, but purpose, God. Let's bask in your presence, God. Let's sing it. Nothing can separate, God. Nothing can separate. Amen. church. He makes all things you make. All things work together for my good. From your hearts, if you believe it. He makes all things possible. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things, Lord. You make all things. Amen. Work together for my good. You stay, Lord. Oh. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. Many pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Yes, it does. Oh, and when the oceans say, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. You love, your love never fails. Oh, you love, never grace, God. We believe in you, Lord. It's not about us. It's not about what we do. Let's declare to God. Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty. Yes, Lord. Through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, and I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, I believe. Amen. Let's declare to God our
God, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Glory to God. God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. Do you believe it? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all you do, God. In your presence, we are made whole. And by your sacrifice, God, we are to go out into the world and create Christ-like disciples unto the nations. We believe in you. In your name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. You may be seated.
At this point, we're going to move into a time of offering. But before we do that, if you're in third through fifth grade, we have a club just for you. It's called Club 3-5. They leave right outside that door with Miss Stephanie right over there. And it's a great chance for third through fifth graders if you want to worship with your families and then learn the same lesson. This is a great chance for you to go hang out with people your age and kind of get a little bit of the gospel with your friends. It's great. Have fun, guys. Bye. And now, the rest of us, we're going to move into a time of offering. And I think a lot of times offering gets a bad reputation as the place and the time in a service where we beg you for money so that we can get paid. But this week I was reading about Cain and Abel, and I was reading about how Abel gave his first fruits, gave the best of the best that he had to God, not because he had to, not because someone twisted his arm, not because he wanted to make sure the church lights stayed on, because that didn't exist back then, but because he said, God, everything you've given me is yours. So as we move into this time of offering, I want us to go and approach God and say, God, you have blessed me with an abundance, and I want to give back to you. And so it's a time, it's almost as if you get to sing another song with the stuff that you have in your life. So right now, we're going to move into that time, and during that time, there's going to be a little video, and I want to preface it a little bit. It's a video about CIY, Christ in Youth, our MOVE conference that our high schoolers go to every summer. But more than that, this is a couple years old, and they took video of students who, when the gospel impacted their life, ended up going into the world and doing crazy cool things. And for me, I watch this video all the time because it reminds me that our students can change the world, which means all of us have the opportunity to change the world because Christ has already given to us. So during this time, give back to God what is God's, and allow yourself to just be moved and transformed by this video. Let's pray for the offering. God, we come before you just in awe of how much you do around us and in us and through us. In awe of the fact that we can come here on a Sunday broken, bruised, beaten a little bit from throughout the week, knowing that you are still constant, knowing that you are still good. God, I thank you for always showing up. I thank you for always meeting our needs so that we can continue in just loving and being with you. God, I thank you that you bless us even when we don't deserve it. And right now, God, as we give back to you what is already yours, when we give back to you an offering, a sacrifice back, I just ask that you would be blessed, that this would be a song that you can experience through us, through our pocketbooks, and through our finances, and just know that we are continuing to sing praise to you, even as we sit in silence and offering. God, I thank you for the many blessings. I ask that you be blessed by the gift, and I also ask that you bless the giver and the gift to continue to do great things for your kingdom. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
We truly believe that it's true. That not only high school students can make a difference, but junior high students can make a difference. All of us can make a difference. And the high schoolers that are going to move this summer, we as a community of faith have a responsibility that when they get back, we can encourage them in that mission. The ongoing mission of Jesus Christ, not only impacting their lives, but impacting the lives around them. This weekend, we've had a missions conference here, and it's been, yesterday, we heard different workshops about evangelism, about what it means to be called to missions, and then how we go about interacting with others, and how we go about understanding what other people are experiencing in their lives, and then taking that opportunity to share Christ with them. And it's been a great weekend. Sharon and the crew have done a magnificent job of putting on this conference. And Sharon, thank you so much for doing that very thing. And we continue that today. We continue talking about missions today. And as we've been looking at Luke, and now we're in Acts, and we see this ongoing mission of Jesus Christ impacting people's lives. This movement that started with Jesus and a few other guys, is now spreading like wildfire in Jerusalem. It's spreading in such a way that they don't know what all to do. And what impresses me about the book of Acts and what impresses me about these different stories and events that Luke shares with us is the deep-seated passion that people had back then. This passion that Jesus Christ really did rise from the dead, that Jesus Christ really did change their lives, and that Jesus Christ really desires to change everybody's life. We said this 3 weeks ago, that he is risen. My question is today, do we still believe that he is risen? He is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's do that again. He is risen. He is risen indeed. That truth needs to happen every single moment of every single day. Because that's what it's all about. It's about Jesus Christ coming to this world, impacting this world, and he now says to all of us, young, old, I want you involved in this. I want you involved in this ongoing mission to redeem humanity. There are a number of things that I get passionate about. And one of those things is this: I love to mow my yard. I mean, I love it. I get to put on my red USC Crocs. I get to put on old beaten up shorts. I get to put on a t-shirt that of some sort that's probably decades old. And Don looks at it and says, please let me wash that and get rid of it. And I said, there's too many memories in that shirt. Don't touch that shirt. And then I get to put on some music, and I always go to my 80s channel so I can hear Journey and Tears for Fears and Flock of Seagulls and all these other great bands. And when I start mowing the yard, everything stops. I love grabbing the handle and pulling the cord and hearing that lawnmower come to life. Because it means this, that in a matter of moments, my yard is going to be transformed before my very eyes. I have a different strategy each time I go to mow the yard. Sometimes I'll do it in vertical lines. Sometimes I'll do it in horizontal lines. When I'm feeling a little edgy, I'll do it diagonally. Today, I have to mow the yard, and I might do it in circles so that people from outer space think that there are aliens living there saying, wow, there's some aliens at that particular location. But I love mowing my yard. Because it's the one thing, one of the few things in my life where I can actually see progress being made. Because so often we interact with people and we want so much to know that we're making a difference, to know that things are different in their lives because we're involved in them, but we don't see much change at all. But when you mow a yard, especially when you mow a yard the way I do, oh, things are different. Exquisite lines. and the smell of freshly mowed grass. A few weeks ago, I was mowing my yard when something happened that changed everything. Father, we pray now, as we come into this time of looking at your word, we pray that you would speak to each one of us. We pray that your Holy Spirit would open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, our minds, everything within us, so that we can understand that the mission you've called us to do is an ongoing mission. And yes, the mission has been accomplished because of you, Jesus Christ, but we pray now that your Holy Spirit would move in our midst, arouse those passions that we have, so that this world can be changed because you've changed us. So Holy Spirit, do the work. Speak to us now as we come into your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to go to Acts chapter 6. And we're going to look at these seven verses at the starting of that chapter, and then we're going to discuss them. But look what happens here. Acts chapter 6, starting at verse 1. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. I love God's word. I love the fact that God's word is real. I love the fact that the writers of God's word aren't afraid to talk about things that really weren't all that great. And Luke does that for us. Luke does that for us. He could have easily overlooked this issue and said, you know what, I hope people in the 21st century, when they're reading about the early church, I hope they realize that everything was perfect back then, and I don't want to share any of the ugly things that were going on at that time. But Luke doesn't do that. Luke says to us, he says, the early church had some issues. The early church had problems. The early church was not perfect. And I got to tell you, I take great comfort in that. I take great comfort in that because there is no such thing as a perfect church. There just isn't. If you believe that there's a perfect church and you attend it, you've now made that church imperfect. All churches are filled with imperfect, broken people. No church is a perfect church. FBC Scottsdale is not a perfect church. We've never claimed to be a perfect church. We never will be a perfect church. We just won't. And it's because you're here and I'm here. Look around you. We're imperfect people. But I can tell you this, that even though this church is not a perfect church, we base everything that we do on the perfected one, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. He's the one who's perfect. So if you're looking for an imperfect church that is founded upon the perfect Savior, you're in the right community of faith. Because Jesus Christ is the only one who is perfect. Jesus Christ is the only one that cares deeply enough to meet us where we are. Jesus Christ is the one that we are to be about. We sing songs to him. We pray to him. We thank God for him. But hear me clearly, FBC Scottsdale is not a perfect church. And you can go all over the valley, you can go all over the country, you can go all over the world, and you will never find a perfect church. The only one who is perfect is Jesus Christ. And so Luke tells us, he says that there's an issue going on in the early church. The Hellenistic Jews are upset that their widows are not being taken care of. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. Because Jesus Christ, when he was living among the people, you go to the Gospels and you look at every single Gospel and you look at the way Jesus Christ interacts with the widows, and you will see this to be true, that not only does he care for them, he encourages them, he restores them. Society had pretty much said, widows were not interested, orphans were not interested, but Jesus Christ said, oh, I'm interested. Not only am I interested, I'm going to take care of them. Not only am I going to take care of them, I'm going to encourage them. And not only am I going to take care of them and encourage them, I'm also going to say to the church, I'm also going to say to the people around them, look at the way they're living their lives, because they are passionate. We're told that a widow gave 2 pennies in an offering. People would like to look at her and just sort of laugh, and Jesus says, don't you dare laugh at that lady. She put in everything. Widows held a deep spot in Jesus' heart, and now the early church is neglecting these widows. It's a big problem. James 1:27 says that religion that God our Father finds faultless is this, to care for widows and orphans. The early church was not caring for widows. So if the early church is not taking care of the basic issue, the basic command of caring for widows and orphans, if the early church isn't even doing that, how can it do anything correctly? But here's what I like, because look what happens here. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Here's what I love, one of the things I love. They owned their complaint. They were upset. They weren't liking the fact that the Hellenistic Jews were being denied food. And they owned their complaint. They went to the leadership and said, this is not right. And the leadership took it upon themselves and then did something about it. But I want to go back for just a moment. What do I mean by owning a complaint? Like I said earlier, we're not a perfect church. And owning a complaint means that you're willing to come forward and say, I have an issue going on right now. Here's what it is not, though. God bless you. It's not writing your complaint on the comment card without giving us a name and a number and a way to contact you, and dropping that complaint in the offering basket and then being upset about it that it never got addressed. That's not owning a complaint. The other way that we don't go about owning complaints is, and there are these unofficial committees that get together on Sunday afternoons after worship. They gather at restaurants, and they proceed to critique the music, the message, the fact that we didn't have enough mints at Welcome Central, the fact that a person didn't go up to them and say hi. And they proceed to just list all these complaints among themselves, and they encourage one another to keep complaining, but they don't own the complaint. In Acts 6, the people owned the complaint. What I'm asking you to do is this. If you have an issue, please know this. The leadership of this church wants to hear what your issue is, and we want to talk with you about it. And we want to address the issue. And if it's if we can fix it, we will fix it. And if it's in line with the ongoing mission of the church, we will do that very thing. But if you don't let us know who you are, or you continue to speak amongst yourselves and grouse and grumble and complain and critique all these other types of things, your complaint will never be addressed. It will never be dealt with. It will never be resolved. The early church owned their complaint. They went to the 12 and they said, this is not right. And the 12 concluded this, you're exactly right that it's not right. And look what they say. Brothers and sisters, verse 3, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. They said, there got to be people around you who are full of the Spirit and wisdom. Who are they? Find them and let's use them. Because there was a problem, and the problem was this, was that the movement of Christ was expanding so rapidly that the leadership said, we can't do it alone, we need help. And that's what happened. That's what happened. But notice what it says, who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. Meaning that when people saw them, when people interacted with these 7, that they knew that there was something bigger going on. They knew that they were passionate people about Jesus Christ. Back to my lawnmower story. That day I started up my lawnmower and I was making exquisite vertical lines. Exquisite. They were just great lines. I'm mowing. I'm listening to Journey. I'm having a great time. And then all of a sudden, boom! And this humongous cloud of white smoke billows. It was a white cloud of smoke it was so thick and it was so big, I could no longer see my lawnmower. Surprised that the fire department didn't show up because this cloud of smoke was huge. And I'm going, oh no, this isn't good. That's my mechanical instinct. And so I looked down after the smoke cleared and I saw this puddle of oil. And because I'm so mechanically inclined, I realized, oh, it must need oil. So go into the garage, grab some lawnmower engine oil, dump it in there. I said, I'm back. I'm going to be back mowing my yard here momentarily. Pull the cord. The lawnmower looks at me and mocks me. Oil goes spewing out. I'm going, it's not supposed to do that. My lawnmower is dead. Exquisite lines. I have 2/3 of the yard still to go. What am I going to do? Because the obsessive compulsiveness in me says, you can't leave it like this. I was dirty. I was smelly. I had grass clippings on me. I said, I got to get a new lawnmower now. Grab the keys, grab my wallet, get in our van. Lowe's is right around the corner from where we live. Pull into Lowe's. Open the door, come out of the door, walk into Lowe's, and I kid you not, no sooner had I walked in the door of Lowe's, the guy looks at me and says, lawn care is in aisle 18. I didn't say a word to the guy. He looks at me and he says, lawn care is in aisle 18. I go to aisle 18, and the whole time that I'm going there is, how did he know that I needed help in lawn care? I stop, I look down at my beautiful red Crocs, and I realize I've got grass on my legs. I realize that I have oil stains on my hands, and I realize that I smell really bad. There's a good chance that when I opened the door of my van, he smelled me and said, that guy's doing yard work. And as I walk to get to the lawn care section, I asked myself this question. This guy knew by my smell, by my look, that I was doing yard work. Does he have any clue that I'm a Christ follower? In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says this, that we are the aroma of Christ to those around us. I smelled bad. But did he smell Jesus Christ in my midst? He knew that I was doing lawn care, but did he know that I was a Christ follower? Luke says this in Acts chapter 6. He says, I want you to find people who are passionate about Jesus Christ. And this is how you're going to tell. You're going to tell by looking at them, by observing them. I ask you this question. If you were to walk out of these doors and into the world and interact with people, would they be able to tell that you are a Christ follower, that you are passionate about Jesus Christ? Or would they just look at you and just say, that's just some other person? I had all the markings of doing lawn care. But the markings that are more important than what I look like when I'm doing the lawn are the markings that show that Jesus Christ is real in my life. Can people tell that you are a Christ follower? Because notice what the 12 didn't say. They didn't say, hey, we need 7 people, raise your hands. They said this. Find 7 people among you who are known for being full of the Spirit and full of faith. They could tell they were different. The ongoing mission of Jesus Christ revolves around Jesus Christ first and foremost, but it is ongoing through people who are passionate about Jesus Christ. I'm passionate about my yard. And mowing it. But if my passion for my yard outweighs my passion for Jesus Christ, it's all messed up. Folks, you are passionate about something. In my office, on my computer, if you were to look at the desktop, you would see this phrase, pursue the solution, not the problem. When I'm pursuing a solution, what ends up happening is all these problems that I thought were huge all of a sudden begin to be resolved. All of a sudden, things begin to get freed up. We have enough people pursuing problems and creating more problems. What we need are people who are passionate about Jesus Christ, who are pursuing the solution of Jesus Christ in this world and saying, I want to make a difference. What are you passionate about? The church was growing rapidly, and the leadership realized, we can't do this alone, and they said, find us some passionate people. What's your passion? Pew sitters are not what we're looking for. We're looking for passionate people to carry out the mission of Jesus Christ. Is your passion students and junior hires and high schoolers? And if it is, please get involved. Junior high and high school are tough, tough times. You guys know that. It's not easy. Trying to figure things out. They need people to come alongside them to say, hey, we want to help you. Kelsey and the crew that she has right now can't do it all. Are you passionate about junior hires and high schools? Are you passionate about these little human beings that we saw walk out that door and into Club 3-5 with Stephanie Hans? Do you love interacting with those little people? And if you do, we could use your help. Are you passionate about people and welcoming them and saying, hey, we're glad you're here? Folks, we would love to have you get involved in that. Are you passionate about coffee and you love the smell of it and you love making it? I'm going to tell you this right now. Winfield's makes the best lattes, cappuccinos, mochas, and Americanos, and other cups of Joe. It is the best product this side of the Pacific Ocean. It's phenomenal. Are you passionate about something like that? Please let us know. We would love to have you join us in helping serve at Winfield's. And I'm not going to continue on with all these other things. Are you passionate about singing or making a beautiful noise? I've heard some of you sing. You can't sing very well, but you make a great noise. If you're passionate about that, Andy's putting together a choir, and we'd love to have you join us. You can see the information in the bulletin, and you can be a part of that, and you can sing, you can make a beautiful noise because you're expressing your passion. Are you passionate about tech? Moving levers and buttons and pushing things. Seeing lights light up on a soundboard. Please let us know. Are you passionate? And I saw that, Joey. I appreciate the passion. Okay, so what are you passionate about? Are you passionate about caring for widows and orphans and the poor? God and I ministry. Our ongoing ministry to those that are struggling through stuff. My question is this, what are you passionate about? We have enough people sitting in pews. We need people who are passionate about Jesus Christ and extending this mission into a world that is desperately in need of Jesus Christ. Some of you are passionate about critiquing every single thing we do. I'm asking you to do this. Knock it off. And pursue the solution with us rather than perpetuating the problem. The ongoing mission of Jesus Christ matters more than my neat lawn. The ongoing mission of Jesus Christ in the early church mattered so much that they were willing to say, we need help and we need you to be involved in this now. And get what happened. Look what happens. So these seven get involved. Check this out. Look at this. Verse 7. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Let that last phrase sink in. A large number of priests became obedient to the faith. You would expect it to say they became obedient to the law, but these people were so impacted by passionate people for Jesus Christ that they became obedient to the faith. The faith in a risen Lord, the faith in the Lord who took on everything that could possibly come at him, and they said, we're in with him, we're passionate about him. Are you passionate about Jesus Christ and doing what he's called us to do in our mission in this world at FBC Scottsdale? I heard the question, what's that? It's the most important thing that you could ever do in your life. What are you passionate about? Because when you sink your passion into Jesus Christ and when you get involved in what he wants to do, all of a sudden, look what it says in verse 7. It says, the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. When we pool our resources, when we pool our passions together, whether it be fixing things, creating things, meeting with kids, whatever the case may be, and there's a whole lot of stuff out there that we can be doing. When we pool that passion together, Jesus Christ becomes all the more real, and the word of God spreads, and people come to know Jesus Christ, and this world is a better place. We got enough people sitting in pews. We need people who have passion for Jesus Christ. A passion that wakes them up at night, a passion that stirs them and they get angry about something, a passion that preoccupies your mind even in the midst of whatever you're doing. You can't help but think about something, and that's what's driving you. Don't tell me you don't have passion. Every single one of us in this room has passion. Here's what I want you to do. You have an information card. You see it in your bulletin every single week. Many of you might not fill it out, and you just leave it alone and move on. What I want you to do is this. I'm inviting you to put your name, your phone number, and write this in the comment. I have passion. And I want you to then put that card at the end of the service, bring it up, and put it in the offering plate. And here's what's going to happen. Somebody in this church leadership will be contacting you within the next 2 weeks to ask you about your passion. Is your passion helping with finances? Is your passion helping with cleaning up the property? Is your passion, whatever it is, don't tell us what your passion is. We're going to call you and ask you what your passion is. Because it matters. The mission of Christ matters. Jesus Christ came up with this wild idea that he was going to change the world through people like you and me. And look what's happened. It's changed. The mission does not stop until Jesus says, I'm coming back, and I'm back. Until that day comes, we have work to do. And we'd love you to join us in carrying out the mission of Jesus Christ in this world. So if you feel so led, fill out that card, bring it up, put it in the offering plate. We'll contact you. And then we get to see the word of God spread rapidly and the number of disciples increase exponentially. Father, we pray as we consider these words, we pray that people would see us as Christ followers. We pray for those in this room who aren't Christ followers, we pray that your Holy Spirit would move in such a way that they realize their need for you. And frankly, Lord, all of us, Christ followers included, need you. We need you desperately. And so, Lord, we pray that these passions that you've given us, that you would take these passions and use them for your glory to expand your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
My passion is worship. Not just in song, not just in playing instruments, but I believe worship is a relationship, one with God. Passion comes from the heart. And when you have passion for Christ in everything you do, passion is worship. Finding worship when you mow the lawn. Finding worship in your passion when in your interactions with people outside the church, inside the church. We've been singing about passion. We believe. I believe. Let's stand and continue. Let's sing this one last time.
I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection and Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Yes, I believe in the name.
Yesterday, I had the opportunity to do a very simple service project with a person who began attending here about 14 months ago. He came here, he didn't know anybody, he just showed up, and this church reached out to him and cared for him, and over the course of time, he came to know Jesus Christ. He showed up at our turkey bowl, and this guy put on moves that Matt Forte would be proud of. He left people in the dust with a smile on his face. And in the course of the months that he and I have had lunch together and talked about what Jesus Christ is doing in his life, he's changed. He's changed because this church has passionate people who reached out to him and cared for him and told him about Jesus Christ. And yesterday he said these words to me while we were doing this service project thing. He looked at me and he said, John, my life has changed, and my life has changed because of what Jesus Christ did through this church in my life. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you this morning that the mission still happens today. And that you get to interact, we get to interact with people who desperately need to see Jesus Christ. May your passion this week for him increase. May you know this, that his passion for you never ceases and is never, ever decreasing. And that he loves you greatly. Please fill out the card. Let us know how to contact you and put on there, I have passion, because we have work to do. In Jesus' name. May God bless you. May you enjoy the rest of your day. And thank you for being here. God bless. Enjoy.